prophecy of Ezekiel in chapter 37, we read a tremendous picture of the state of man, of the preaching of the gospel, and of the power and the effect of the gospel upon dead man to bring him unto life. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 reads as follows: "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. Verse 3, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Firstly, consider where these bones were. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. In the midst of the valley. Here are bones. Here is death. Here is death long since past, found in a valley. These are not corpses in a valley. These are not people starving in a famine in a valley. These are those who died a long time ago. They're just bones. The bones aren't even together. They're scattered. Here is death, long since executed, long since occurred. Here's the remains in the valley. In the valley. So the picture of this world and a picture of man in this world. Man thinks he lives. You think you live, but before God, spiritually, you're in a valley and you're just bones. The judgment of death has long since been passed upon you because of your sin and your rebellion against Almighty God. Man is fallen. He was created in innocence. But he turned his back on God. And he's turned his back on God ever since. And since the day you were born, you have turned your back on God. And God said when man first fell, long before you fell, that in the day that thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as man did in his rebellion, thou shalt surely die. And man died, and you died, and I died. And ever since, man has just been dead before a holy God. Living with a natural life, living but for a moment, for 70 years. Once you're born, you grow up as grass, then you wither away and you're gone again. Living for a brief moment upon this globe, each generation comes up and disappears, comes up and disappears, comes up and disappears, and thinks in their brief moment upon this globe, like little ants racing around, that they rule the world. And yet they're gone in an instant, and nobody remembers them. And whatever great things they have achieved in their life is nothing in the grand scheme of things. They're fools. And you're a fool if you think that you're doing anything wonderful, and if your life counts for anything. It's but a blink of time, and then you're gone, and then you're in the grave, and then you're but bones in the dust of the earth. And spiritually, you're but bones throughout. In a valley. The depths of the earth. Ezekiel was not taken to a mountaintop here. He was not taken to a place where the earth meets the heavens. But he was taken down. Down where man has fallen. Down where there is death. Down into the pits, down into the depths, down into the valley, where dead, fallen men lay. Is that where we find you today? In a valley, far from God. Your thoughts and your affections, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, all far from God. Any knowledge of God is but an intrusion. All your desire is for what's here below, in the depths of the valley, and your but bones. In this valley, Ezekiel found bones. A valley which was full of bones. Full of bones. And this world is full of bones. Full of bones. I read that the population of the world today is something like 7 billion. There are 7 billion people in this world at this moment. And in a few years, those 7 billion will be in the grave. And before them, however many billion lived. And before them, however many billion lived. And after them, however many billion lived. Millions and millions in each nation, coming and going, all full of bones. And the valley is full of bones, and they're all dead. There is not one that lives by nature. There's not one who before God lives, because they're all dead. They've all gone astray, they've all sinned, they've all turned their back on God, and before God, they're all dead. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. We all seek our own things. And we're bones. Dead, utterly dry. Dry because the heat of the sun has scorched us. God in the heavens above has reigned, and his righteous judgment has been poured out upon this world. It's been declared, and it finds man wanting. And man can't stand in the light of the sun. except God has mercy upon him. Except God shines his light into the darkness of man's heart, the sun and the heat of the sun merely burns him. He's scorched. He's dry. He's dead. Some pretend to live. Some pretend to make a profession of religion or to follow after God. But all that they do in the flesh is in the flesh, is in the strength of man. There's no reality to it. It's all their will, their decision for their glory. There's no seeking after God because they're dead. You say you live, God says your bones. God caused him to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Long since dead. There's no life in them. People say there's good in everyone. There is not. There's no good in any man. And the testimony of God to the state of man by nature is there's no good in him. There's no ability to do good. There's no will to do good. There's not one that seeks after God truly. There's no one that will seek after the truth. They don't mind following a God who stands at their command. They don't mind following a Jesus who they can accept or command or say, I will follow you. But they hate the Jesus that comes unto those whom he chooses and says unto them, follow me. They hate the God that's sovereign. They hate the God that brought the judgment down against them because of their sin, and in whose hands they are if ever they're to be saved. They hate a God who's in control and sits upon a throne. They hate the God who is God. They'll readily follow a God who's in their control, like a little idol that they have in their pocket or in their hand, whom they look to, when really they're looking unto self. They say they serve a God, but they serve themselves, because they're dead, and they're bones, and they're dry, like you and like I. And given such a state, God says unto Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Look at them. They're dead. Look at all mankind. He's dead. They're just bones. Dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. Long since gone. Long since condemned. Not one flicker or breath of life in them. Just bones. Can these bones live? Surely by nature. Surely according to what Ezekiel could see when he looked upon them, the answer would be no. It's impossible. They've already died. Whatever life there may once have been, wrapped around these bones, has long since gone. It's way past the point of living. These are dead men's bones. They can't live by nature. How can such bones live? Rightly we might look upon them and think, well, it's impossible. And what's impossible with these bones in the valley is impossible with fallen man. When you look upon men, when you look upon yourself and see man and see yourself as he and you truly are, when you know how dead man is, when you know how rebellious man is, when you know how far fallen man is, when you know how deep and dark the valley in which he found is, when you know how dead man and you are, then the obvious answer to the question, can these bones live, is no, it's impossible. There's no life in them, there's no possibility. It's all gone, there's no flesh upon these bones. They're not even a dead corpse anymore. There's no flesh, there's no sinews, there's no breath, there's nothing, they're just bones. And spiritually, that's where you are. The flesh is gone, the sinews have gone, the breath has gone. You're just bones. In the heat of the sun, in the valley. Can these bones live? It's impossible. But Ezekiel, who stood before the living God, who created all things, that God who in days gone by created man before he fell, that God who created the valley in which he stood, that God who created these bones and created the people they once were from, that God who made all things and brought all things out of nothing, as he stood before the living God, he had the wisdom to say, O Lord God, thou knowest. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. If God says they can live, they can live. If God can bring this world out of nothing, then he can make bones live. If God created man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, then surely God can make the bones live, however dead they are. Yet rightly, Ezekiel would have looked upon them and naturally speaking thought, it's impossible. And when we look upon mankind today, and when we see the hardness of man's heart to the things of God and the things of Jesus Christ, when we see the mass rejection of Christ and his gospel, when we see the multiplying of sin in this world and the ways of man and the wisdom of man and the deceit of man and the deception, the lies, the desire, the ugliness of man's heart, when we see how far fallen man is, when we see the atrocities of men and see the violence and the evil in the world around us, the hatred of man, when we see the atrocities committed in times of war, when we see what nations have done and what nations can be led to do against others, when we look back and see what Hitler did in the war and what men like him, other leaders have done, the mass genocide and what man left to his own devices can do, and we see the awfulness of sin. And when we look in our own heart and see our own deceit and our own lies, our own lying to others and our own lying to self and our own lying to God and our own selfish desire for our own ends and our own anger and irritation at anyone that gets in our way and prevents us achieving what we want to do, our rebellion against all authority over us, our rebellion against our parents, our rebellion against law and order in society, our rebellion against teachers, our rebellion against all things that get in our way, when we see our own sin and rebellion and discover something of what we are and consider how hard our hearts are and realize how spiritually dead we are, then surely we'd look upon the state of man and ourselves and say of these bones, can these bones live? I cannot see that they could. I'm long since gone. I deserve nothing. There's nothing I can do. I've tried to seek God. I've tried to live right. I've tried to turn myself to the scriptures. I've tried to live according to his holy will. And I fall. And I fail. And I crumble. There's no ability. Can these bones live? Not by nature. Yet Ezekiel knew with God, the impossible is possible. This is the God that makes the seas apart side to side, and dry land appear, such that the whole nation of Israel could pass through and escape the Egyptians that followed. This is a God that sent the plagues upon Egypt and turned the waters of the Nile into blood. This is the God that can make blind men see and deaf men hear. This is the God that can make the impossible possible. Can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Yes, indeed. With God he can send life where there is the greatest of death. He can make dead bones to live through his gospel. Through his gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded. And as I prophesied, he says, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Can these bones live? Yes, they can, when God speaks. When he sends his gospel, dead bones live. When he commands his servant to prophesy, to preach the word, go to these bones, say unto them, preach unto them, say unto the bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, and they will hear. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, God says, and ye shall live. Ezekiel did as God told him. God said, go to the bones, speak to them, preach to them, declare the word of God unto them, say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. And he did as he was commanded, and God moved and spoke and brought life to the bones. It was God that did it. But he did it by sending Ezekiel to preach. He said, preach, prophesy. And as he did, God made the bones to live. Oh, the effect, the power of the gospel, the power of the word of God, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it's sent by God unto sinners, unto dead bones like you and I, when God speaks by his Spirit through his servants, by his gospel, dead bones live. God says, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. If God commands it, if God speaks it, if God brings it about, then dead bones live. Dead bones like yours, dead bones like mine, dead men like you and dead men like I. When the power of the gospel comes, we live. It's impossible, but the gospel makes it possible. It is the power of God unto salvation. But God would have Ezekiel preach it. Can these bones live? O Lord God, thou knowest. Then did God say unto Ezekiel, watch, Ezekiel. And God spake unto the bones, and the bones lived, and Ezekiel watched, and God performed. Did God say that to him? No, God said unto Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy. He involved Ezekiel. He says, you're going to see something here, Ezekiel. You're going to see these bones, and you're going to see them live. But you do as I say, go and speak unto them. Say unto the bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now consider that. Consider what Ezekiel's told to do there. Consider what this preacher's told to do there. He's told to go and speak to dry bones and say unto dry dead bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now how can dead bones hear? Those that love to study theology and get themselves wrapped up in arguments will come unto this and say, well, that's nonsense. You can't preach unto dead dry bones because they can't hear and they can't respond. So how can I say unto a dead dry bone, hear the word of the Lord? He's got no ability to hear. Nothing's going to happen. I will wait until I see a sign with these bones that there's life there, and then I will preach and address them. I will say, ye bones that are living, hear the word of the Lord. And so man gets tangled up because he thinks that there must be life before he can address that life. But it's up to God to send the life. And God sends the life when he speaks. Dry bones can't hear the word of the Lord. You're absolutely right. There's a foolishness in addressing dry bones and saying, hear the word of the Lord. It's crazy. It's foolish. It's folly. And it is called the foolishness of preaching, which is why the Jews and the Greeks laughed at it and scorned it. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's the foolishness of the preaching of the cross because we come unto dry bones and say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. Well, they can't. Well, what stupidity to preach such things to dead sinners like this who can't hear. Yet God sends his gospel and God sends Ezekiel unto dry bones and says, speak. Now when he speaks, when he prophesies unto them, they're dead, they're dry, they hear nothing. But as he speaks, as God has sent him, God causes life to enter into them. And when the life enters, they hear and they believe. It accompanies the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is not held back and reserved for those bones that have already been brought to life by God at some other point in time, by whatever means. God brings that life. He brings birth. He brings the new birth of the Spirit of God unto dead sinners when he preaches the gospel. Is this the agency of man? That there must be a preacher? Not at all. Many there are who with some desire to defend the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of God in salvation seek to take man out of the equation altogether, even including the preacher and the preaching of the gospel. And they try to say, no, the preaching of the gospel simply makes known unto those that God has brought unto life what God has done unto them. So at some point the Spirit of God brings them to life, then they hear the gospel and they believe it. And they try to create this clever order in which the sovereignty of God is preserved and which the preacher is then set aside to be some secondary thing that's just bringing information to those that God has already saved. That's confused nonsense. God sends the preacher, and it is by the preaching that he brings people to life. That doesn't make the preacher the one that brings them to life, nor does it make his preaching the one that brings them to life. It's God that does it. God is sovereign in all. But God sovereignly calls and sends and commands a preacher. He tells him what to say. He causes him to say it. And when he says it, God sends life. That's patently clear in this passage. Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. He's sent to dry bones, dead bones. And we're sent with the gospel to those who are dead. Those who have not yet been born again of the Holy Spirit. Those who are still dead. And we're to preach unto them and say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. And it's when that gospel's preached that God says, when you so prophesy, when you so preach, when you go unto the people I send you to with my gospel and preach by my Spirit this gospel unto them, then I will lay sinews upon them. And I will bring flesh up upon them. And I will cover them with skin, and I will put breath in them, and they shall live, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have done this. And they won't look to the preacher, and they won't say it's that man that saved me. They'll say it's God. But he sent his gospel, and I heard the gospel, as God commanded. Is it the agency of man? Not at all. God brought the life. But he chose to have Ezekiel prophesy. It pleased him to work this way. God also brought his people Israel up out of Egypt. He delivered his people Israel out of Egypt as a figure, as a picture of his people, spiritual Israel, being delivered from the Egypt of the world, of this world, and the death of this world, and brought out of this world unto life to follow God. He delivered his people Israel out of Egypt, but he did so by sending a man called Moses. And he said, Moses, you will go before my people and go to Pharaoh and speak unto Pharaoh all the words that I command you. And you will, in so doing, lead my people out of this country. I will do this, Moses. But I will do it by sending you to preach and to declare and to lead. Then was it Moses that delivered that people out of Egypt? Not at all. God did. But Moses was the man that God chose to speak by. Even though Moses protested that he was slow of tongue, he stammered, he couldn't speak, he had no ability, God took that dead man Moses, that ineffective man Moses, that man that couldn't speak, and he said, I'll put my words into your mouth and you will speak. And I will do wondrous things and you will behold what I do. And Moses knew that it was nothing of himself, but all of God. And yet God chose to use that nothing of a man called Moses to do it. And so he did with Ezekiel. He took this nothing of a man and he said, look, go to these bones and prophesy. And he prophesied. And the bones lived. And so today, God calls nothings, wretched sinners that he saves by grace, and he says, now you, go with my word and preach it. Preach this gospel that delivered you. Preach it. Go to the bones and say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. And when they go and when they preach and when God speaks by them, those bones live. It's got nothing to do with a man. But God will still send a man with his gospel to do it. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How can dry bones hear? They can't. And yet Ezekiel's commanded to preach to them. Now a dead man cannot hear the gospel until he's quickened by the Spirit. But we still preach that gospel to dead men. And it is by that gospel that God sends life unto them. It's so important. As I said, there are those that contend that the Spirit of God must first quicken them to life without means, without preaching, without the gospel, without a man, and then these quickened sinners will hear the gospel and believe. Well, yes, they must be quickened. But God says, go to them and speak to them, and I will quicken them. I will bring them to life. I will breathe into them when you preach. It accompanies the gospel. We don't see this reordering in the scriptures. We see those men sent to God to preach the gospel throughout the New Testament. God sent forth his disciples and the apostles with the gospel. They went unto this place and that place and they preached. And dead bones had life breathed into them. And they lived. They went unto dead bones. Dry bones. Not living bones. Dead, dry bones. Long since dead. And they say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Was it Ezekiel that brought these bones to life? No, of course not. It was God did, but not without the prophesying, the preaching of Ezekiel. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. I have done this. Later on in the chapter he says, I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. I've done it. Yes, a man came unto you, and he prophesied unto you, and he spake my word unto you. But you'll know that I was the one that spake. And I was the one that performed it. And I was the one that made you live. You heard the words of a man. But you truly, inwardly, inside, you heard me speaking. It's all of God. But it's through his gospel. What's the effect of Ezekiel's prophesying? Bones came to bones. Flesh came upon them. Sinews came upon them. Breath entered into them. Life entered in. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Oh, what an effect this preaching of the gospel had. What an effect. When he began and the bones came together, there was a noise and a shaking. And when the gospel comes unto you, O dead bones of a sinner, and starts to begin its work, and starts to have an effect, you'll feel the shaking and the noise. You'll know what it is to be broken down before Almighty God. You'll know what it is to be crushed before him and convicted of your sin. You'll feel within you that everything's shaken up. All your hopes in this world, all your ambitions, all your desires, all that was important to you, all that seemed to matter to you comes crashing down as nothing. There's a shaking. There's a noise. Everything changes. Everything's upside down. All that mattered to you before is worthless. And everything's changed. And you lay prostrate before God. And as he preaches, As the word comes unto you in power, then he takes flesh and puts it upon you, and puts sinews upon you, and then he breathes life into you, and you live, and faith enters into that dead soul, that dark soul that once was dead and lost. Faith enters in, and your eyes open, and your ears open, and you hear this word that you've been hearing with the outward ear, you begin to hear inwardly. And it begins to make sense. Once you were trying to make sense of it all, and you couldn't, but now it all makes sense, and you hear the voice of the Lord, and you live, and you see a Saviour who was crucified because of your sin. And you realize that the death that made you to be bones in a valley had been taken and had been laid upon him. And God had taken him and brought him down out of heaven's glory into this valley of bones beneath and led him into a place called Golgotha, the place of a skull. That dark valley full of bones where there's only death. God had sent the Saviour Jesus Christ in your place to a place called the place of a skull, a place of bones, a place of death. And he took your sins and your rebellion and your wretched heart and he bore it. And he bore the judgment of God against it. He bore the penalty of death that had once come down upon you, that you'd once felt that you thought had condemned you. You see that instead God had taken that and placed it upon him. And in fact, you're not the one that's going to remain dead. He died that you might live. Faith enters in. Life enters in. It rushes into all your being. It flows through your body. The bones of your body come together. The flesh moves. The sinews move. The muscles move. You have life in your being. And you see that life as pouring forth from the blood of Christ, which was shed because of your death and your sin and your rebellion. And you see a Saviour who died that you might live. And you're brought to stand up in the company of a great army. A great army saved by grace. All of whom have heard this word. All of whom have heard this gospel. All of whom have heard the word of the Lord. Speak unto them, live. And they rose up. And they walked forth and they lived. And they rode forth as a conquering army with Christ upon a horse, leading them forth, because he's the great conquering victor that delivered them from death. He's the one that did it. And they look, and they follow, and you will look, and you will follow. Oh, what an effect this gospel has. Have you beheld a Saviour? Have you beheld Christ? Have you heard his speech, his voice saying unto you, live? Oh, the promise that is then set before such a people. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, my people, my church, all for whom Christ died. The whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts, we're dead. They're all brought to confess that. They're all brought to know that. When they first heard the gospel, we're dead, we're gone. But he says unto them, not so. Can these bones live? Yes, indeed. Can my bones live? Yes, indeed. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. There's a promise in this. He speaks, he preaches, we're brought to life, but he promises, I'm going to bring you, my people, into your own land. I'm not leaving you in this valley. I'm not leaving you with the bones. I'm not leaving you where there's death. I'm going to lead you forth into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to bring you into your own land where you live and reign with me forevermore, where you will live forever, because I have spoken by my gospel, grace and mercy unto your soul. Finally, seventhly, this is from start to finish, the work of God. The work of God. Yes, he sends his gospel. Yes, he commanded Ezekiel to preach. Yes, he will preach this word unto dead bones. But it's his work to speak by that gospel, to send life to those bones, to make those bones live. It's his work. He calls the preacher, he prepares the preacher, he sends the preacher, he puts his word in his lips, he speaks by him, he speaks by the Spirit of God, and he causes dead bones to live. It's all the work of God, and every child of God that's heard this word and been brought to life knows it. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You'll know that I've done it. You know you heard a preacher, but you know it wasn't him. Man wasn't involved. You didn't decide to believe. You didn't decide to follow me. You didn't decide to live. You were a dead corpse. You were a dead bones. You were gone. You couldn't decide or do anything. And that preacher couldn't decide or do anything. Men can stand before bones and say all that they like, as loud as they like. They can preach as hard as they like. Except God speaks by them. There's just death. It's all God. And every child of God will come to know that this is all of grace. All of God from start to finish. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The preacher spake, but I have spoken. The preacher preached, but I made you live. I have spoken it and performed it. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Amen.